Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold postgame show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson on the Big Show Radio Network.
And welcome into the Green and Gold postgame show. No Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I think he's watching Gravedigger tonight. He's at a monster car rally. I actually have no idea what he's doing, but I'm back. Ryan Horvath filling in for one night. One night only, they gave me the opportunity to be on the air for more than 90 minutes with my main man, Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger. So I'm excited to talk a little Packer football because I'm stuck here in Washington, D.C., talking nothing but gambling pretty much, which I love, but I miss talking Packers, even in the preseason, after preseason game number two, where we didn't see a whole lot of the starters, but still, the Packers do fall. That's not the big story. We're trying to find some roster spots for some certain guys, trying to fix up the offensive line, the defensive line. So we're going to talk about a little bit of everything tonight here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show, 1250 AM The Fan and statewide in Wisconsin. If you want to jump on with us, 855-830-8648. Gary, what's going on, man? I haven't seen you in months.
We stay acquainted by the socials, so we touch each other every once in a while.
Whoa, hey, yeah. I was getting a kick out of it last week, man. I really was. So there's a lot to get to here.
Unpack. We got a lot to unpack.
I'll tell you this, man. The preseason, is it just me? Like, I missed preseason football last year because I actually enjoy preseason football because you got guys out there trying to earn jobs, guys trying to earn roster spots, and guys trying to beat guys out for different spots on the field, but I feel like this year the product's been worse than ever. This was actually a decent preseason game in the first half. Now, we got no Jordan Love, so pretty much four quarters of Kurt Benkert. And now, last week there was all the love for Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Now I see people saying Benkert, greater sign, Jordan Love. I need everybody to pump the brakes with that. I like to joke around with the Jordan Love stuff, but come on now, Jordan Love's quarterback number two, right?
Well, I mean, that's always been, right? I mean, you try to find something to grasp on or something to have something to say about. And if you don't like Brian Gutekunst, somewhere or another, you find how to go and stick it to him a little bit. So if you like Kurt Benkert, you're probably saying that Brian made a mistake by going and getting Jordan Love when they moved up to go get him. And I think a lot of people would like to say that, being vindictive. See, I'm not that way. If Kurt is the guy, great. I want him to be. If he beats out Jordan Love, great. I really don't care. I just want the Green Bay Packers to be good. And will people make mistakes? Yeah, you make mistakes at your work every day. I make mistakes at my work. But no one judges us on those mistakes that we make. And we are the people that actually can run an organization like Brian Gutekunst or like Ted Thompson or like Martin Murphy. We feel like we can do their job. I really don't care about that. I think mistakes will be made in drafting. I think mistakes will be made in cutting players this year and next year and years to come. But I think as an organization, it's a very, very healthy organization right now moving forward. And listen, I think this only makes Jordan Love better. If you know,
right.
Like we're going to know what we're going to see out of him because it's competition. I mean, you look at the game of sports just in general across the board, even Little League, even high school, it's always competition, right? You always got a guy behind you. And sometimes competition brings out the best in people. So we'll see what Jordan Love's got when he comes back. And if he doesn't do it, you know, then he's not the guy that meant for the job. And maybe Kurt is the guy. I don't know. But what we do know is we got Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be our quarterback this year. If regardless of what happens, if Rodgers is not the guy this year, we ain't going to the Super Bowl anyway.
Right.
Whether it's Kurt, Jordan Love, whoever it is, that's not happening. So right now it's really Aaron Rodgers is going to lead us this year, and that's what it's all about. I guess we're trying to find a backup along the way.
Right. You just got to find the backup. And I think that's Jordan Love. You know, I always give I give Gutekunst a hard time just for the pick. And here's the only reason why. Because in the first round, coming off an NFC title loss, I just think there were a couple holes to fill. Whether that was on the defensive line, which those holes are still needed to be filled, or at the wide receiver position if you wanted more weapons, that's not the issue anymore. Like, this team, it's going to be hard trying to make these decisions of who's on this roster and who's not. Even at the tight end position, man, you know, you saw today Jay Sternberger caught a touchdown. You know, but you already have Mercedes Lewis, who's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. You already have Robert Tonyan, who's proved he's one of the better tight ends in the league. He caught double-digit touchdowns last year. And even at the wide receiver position, you know, today Malik Taylor looked really good. He had 4 grabs for 66 yards. You drafted Amari Rodgers out of Clemson. Today he had 4 grabs for 31 yards. You got Reggie Bagleton there. And then you bring back Randall Cobb, so you have to fit him in the equation. You have Devontae Adams. I think Devin Funchess proved last week, you know, he should be on this roster. MVS, St. Brown's still there. So I think the weapons you're fine with. The only reason that I hated the pick with Jordan Love, because I think he can play in this league. You know, I joke around.
I'm not sure if he can just yet. I mean,
right.
I just won't put myself out there saying that he can. I don't know. For me, about Jordan Love, I hadn't seen enough. I mean, honestly, I really haven't. I haven't seen enough to tell you. And so I'm never looking for, like, the Aaron Rodgers or the Brett Favre guy. But I can't tell you if he's Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff. I just haven't seen enough to make that sort of assessment about him.
Right, because we've only seen him once.
I haven't
seen
him. I really, being honest.
I mean, he made a couple nice throws, but then we saw the same stuff that we saw at Utah State. You know, the 4th-and-2 where Matt LaFleur called it a brain fart. You see him thrown into double coverage, but he has the arm strength. You know, he's got a little Brett Favre in him. He needs to work on the footwork. But the only problem I had with the pick was coming off an NFC title loss, usually you try to take advantage of drafting a quarterback in the first round and having that quarterback on the rookie contract when you have a team that's built to win. And if you had Aaron Rodgers under contract for 4 more years, that's why I didn't understand the pick. Like, I love what Seattle did with Russell Wilson, because you were able to win a Super Bowl and go to another Super Bowl with Russell Wilson still on a rookie contract, and you were able to pay all those guys on the defensive side of the ball, the Legion of Boom. Then what happened was you had to make Russell Wilson the highest paid quarterback in the league. Then you weren't able to pay Richard Sherman. You know what I mean? And then you were able to keep Bobby Wagner. But that was my only problem with the pick, is you already had a guy under center for 4 more years that you were already devoted to. But let's move on. And by the way, the final score.
Well, so now you got that out. You're able to explain yourself because you just upset with the pick. So it is what it is. They picked Jordan Love. They moved up to get him. The Green Bay Packers should have been in the Super Bowl last year, and
exactly.
we wouldn't be having this conversation. They screwed that themselves. Brian Gutekunst didn't screw that up. I actually think Matt LaFleur called a great game. To me, the players screwed it up.
Yes.
I put that – the NFC Championship game that they lost, I put on the players. And those players would be Aaron Rodgers, the drop interceptions that they had or should have had. I mean, I lay that at the doorsteps of the players. No doubt for me. It don't have nothing to do with the pick, because everybody wants to get to the Super Bowl. To me, I put it on the players. And I thought they just didn't take advantage of things that happened. There's no way that you get 3 picks in the second half and you get 3 points. That's right. Awful.
No, and I'm with
That's
you.
That's awful.
Gary, it's the NFL, and injuries happen, and I'm not making excuses.
Sure.
But I think that if David Bakhtiari plays in that game,
it's a different story.
You know what I mean? Because let's look at 2 weeks later.
Yes.
All right, because the Chiefs, you know, and Aaron Rodgers, I'm not making excuses for him. Those three straight incompletions on the goal line, he's trying to force the ball to Davante Adams. I'm not making an excuse for Davante Adams. He had some bad drops in that game.
Absolutely.
Kevin King was bad, and that's what we're going to remember.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. It's just the players. Like, to me, the players screwed the pooch on that.
Right, and then 2 weeks later, Patrick Mahomes against that same Tampa Bay defense, he's without his tackles, and he's only able to put up nine points on the board. We also got to give some credit to that Tampa Bay defense. Like, those
defense
were some dogs
good.
Out there,
defense
man.
Defense is good.
By the way, the final score, 23-14. The Jets moved to 2-0 in the preseason. The Packers are 0-2. Not that it matters because nobody's playing in these games. Kurt Benkert, 18 of 25 passing, 151 yards, but he only averaged 6 yards per attempt. Does throw that one touchdown. And also does throw a bad interception. I know you wanted to talk about the offensive line. I saw you tweet out that that's your main focus here.
Right.
I got a little concerned when Benkert fell on his ass twice in a row. I've never seen anything like that in an NFL game, even in the preseason. And then all of a sudden they have to make a change at the center position. Is that your main concern heading into the season? Because this team's built to win a Super Bowl. But without Bakhtiari the first couple weeks, we don't think he's going to be out there. Is that your main concern?
Yeah, it really is. I think, Ryan, when you look at the offensive line, I thought it was the best offensive line of football last year.
Same.
The way they were situated. Up until Bakhtiari got hurt. That was the best in the league. And now all of a sudden they had the best center. Right, in Corey Linsley. They had the best left tackle in the game. And that's pretty good. And then now all of a sudden you are now with a rookie at center. You're going to be – your two left guard and right guard are going to be unknown. So maybe – I think it's going to be Runyon and Patrick when it's all said and done at guards. Then, of course, you get Bakhtiari back. And then your right tackle – who knows? I think right tackles is still probably could be up for grabs. But so you've got a lot of new starters there. I mean, you got four new starters, I think, on that offensive line where you come from an offensive line last year that was the best in the game. I thought this game they played better. I mean, I thought the run game was a little bit better. And as these guys play more together, they'll get better. But right now they're not where they were last year.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. Like, you saw it after Benkert went down twice because he's trying to take the snap under center, and I was like, man, just have this guy take these snaps out of
well,
the shotgun because this is embarrassing.
How many centers did we have in the game? Did we have three?
Well,
was it Lucas Patrick?
Doing.
Was
yep.
it Runyon?
So after those
Linsley,
two
– I'm not Linsley, I'm sorry. What was it? Myers.
Yeah, out of – same thing, man. Same dude out of
you
Ohio State.
Had,
he reminds me just of
right.
Corey
you might
then
have
they put Lucas
three,
Patrick in right after that. Yeah,
yeah. You might have had three start. You might have three centers today with one quarterback. Was it two, Sammy?
Well, no, it was – I mean, it was pretty much one quarterback. They brought that other kid in that they just pretty much signed off of waivers. He attempted one pass. He was 0-for-1 in the game. It was pretty much Benkert the entire game.
I mean, and centers. How many centers did we have today?
Three.
We had three. You had three centers. And what, three quarterbacks?
Pretty much one quarterback.
One quarterback. So what I'm saying is I think Benkert had three centers in this game.
Yeah, he did. And then, after he fell the second time, that's when they made the adjustment and they put Lucas Patrick in at center. And they're just trying to figure things out right now. And, you know, that's the thing about preseason. Like, you know, we overreact to some of this stuff, but we really can't because nobody's out there playing. Hey, we're going to talk about a lot. And one thing I got to say for the Jets, man, they never get it right, the quarterback position. You know, Sam Darnold, I don't know if he's a bust or I don't know if that's Adam Gase's fault.
Right.
Zach Wilson, Gary, looks real good, though.
He looks pretty good.
I mean, I was not high on him out of BYU. Mm-hmm. I love Justin Fields. I would have taken him second, but he looked real good. Hey, when we come back, we're going to hit on a little bit of everything. Your thoughts on this game, roster battles, the offensive line, what concerns you most? 855-830-8648. Ryan Horvath filling in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with my main man, GE, former Packer and Badger. We're coming back here on the Green and Gold postgame show, 1250 AM, The Fan.
Put on, east side, put on, south side, put on, west side, put on, I put
The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold postgame show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson on the Big Show Radio Network.
Welcome into the Green and Gold postgame show. Ryan Horvath filling in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer alongside former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson. And we are live after the Packers fall to 0-2 here in the preseason. Matt LaFleur taking some notes from his guy Sean McVay, who doesn't really care a whole lot about the preseason. And when you have a veteran quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, you have the best tackle in all of football who's recovering from a torn ACL. You have the best wide receiver in football, Devontae Adams. There's really no reason for them to be out there. And I think that was what was proven last year in a pandemic-shortened season, preseason being shortened to where there was no preseason games. The Jets do pull away 23-14. Zach Wilson in this game, 9 of 11 passing, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, finishes with a QB rating of 154.7. Kurt Benkert gets the start for the Packers, and with no Jordan Love, pretty disappointing. Jordan Love misses a huge opportunity. We want to see Jordan Love out there. That's the guy you traded up for in the first round. And instead, we get Kurt Benkert for an entire game, 18 of 25 passing, showed some flashes, 151 yards, one touchdown, one bad interception. Also fell on his butt twice. I've never seen it in an NFL game, but you could blame the offensive line. Was sacked once for lost 8 yards on it. So, Gary, 23-14, what does preseason mean for you? What are you looking for in these games right now, especially with the starters not being out there?
Well, I think for me, you know, being a career guy that wasn't drafted very high, I mean, right. You're looking for players who can fill your roster, and you're looking for players that you drafted that can be starters. And it's not really about your frontline guys, and as you saw tonight, I mean, I think if you look on what the Packers offense, did they have a starter playing on offense? I was trying to get that through my brain. I don't think they really had a starter on offense. And I think if you look at the Jets' defense, I think they had several starters on their defense that were playing. And so what was happening now, you're getting a good long look at a lot of backup guys. In 23-14, they had opportunities to come back and score. But you had a bunch of backup playing, and you know they missed some things here along the way, which stopped them from getting first downs, this, that, and the other. But I thought they played pretty good. I mean, for me, you're looking at guys like Dexter Williams, right? Will he make this team? I think he's a pretty good running back, but they're so deep right now, running back, he may be a guy that they can cut. I mean, you're looking at Patrick Taylor, right? What can he give you? Jay Sternberger will be a guy. I think he's going to be the fourth tight end. He's going to be suspended for the first two games. So, I mean, do you want to take a flyer on him? And then we talk about the offensive line. The offensive line is just a revolving door of players. And then I swear, you know, if you go to the receivers, there's a lot at receivers. I mean, I think Equanimous St. Brown, we haven't seen him play, right?
Right.
You just don't know what he's going to bring. And after that, I think it may – you know, you see a lot of guys get cut after Equanimous St. Brown. I mean, he may be a guy that they let go. So it's a lot of guys you're looking at right now trying to fill in your roster.
No, absolutely. And the number to reach us at, 855-830-8648. Again, that's 855-830-8648 here on the Green and Gold postgame show. There's so much that I want to hit on with you. I pretty much begged them to do this show with you when Sparky said that he was going to see Gravedigger tonight or whatever. What is Sparky up to tonight? He's going to a monster truck race or something like that? Man, we got Manny Pacquiao fighting tonight. We got a full slate of preseason football. We got, Gary, it's SummerSlam night, man. And Sparky's going to watch monster trucks?
Yeah, I don't.
What's wrong with your boy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Monster trucks?
Yeah, I'm going to move on from that.
All right. The Jets win 23-14. I want to talk to you a little bit about the running back spots, man, because I want to know how many carries we're going to see for A.J. Dillon in these games. I know that you're going to use a little bit of him, obviously. That's why you took him out of the second round out of Boston College last year. But the knock on him at Boston College was you couldn't use him in the passing game.
Right.
Today you saw it even on a screen pass. He had two receptions today that went for 12 yards. He also had four carries for 28 yards. He was averaging 7 yards per carry, his longest of the day, 11-yard run. He had guys all over him. He's the real deal, man. But you know who I really like? You got done talking about Patrick Taylor. I want to talk about him a little bit later on. He carried the ball 8 times for 48 yards. But I love Kylan Hill. Seven carries for 29 yards, only 4 yards per pop. Had that 12-yard touchdown run. I like him, Gary. You think he's going to get some touches, man? Because you just got done talking about Dexter Williams. I think maybe he's the odd man out. I think Kylan Hill's going to be – I don't know if I could call him the real deal, but I think he could be a playmaker.
Well, just don't be upset, because I know you guys, you know, Packer fans, I know you love you guys.
Yep.
But if you look, project out long-term, he's your guy that replaces Aaron Jones. That's what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
And so don't be surprised when it happens. You can see, and this is the way the Packers have always kind of operated. They go and get a guy. That you look at Jones' contract, I think it'll be up in a couple years, and Kylan Hill will be able to step right, because he's going to make this team. Okay,
right.
He's good. And so he'll be a guy. If they can't re-up Aaron Jones, they'll let him go, and Kylan Hill will be the replacement, barring any major injuries, will be the replacement for Aaron Jones. And I just hope Packer fans don't get upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when this contract ends up for – you know, winds up ending up for Aaron Jones, you're probably not going to give him a third deal. So I completely
think
he's not going to.
Right. His biggest payday was this contract. And that's
right,
normally the way it works for running backs. On the offensive linemen, they get maybe 3 or 4. Quarterbacks most certainly get 4. Running backs, they're lucky if they can get that one they're lucky if they can get 2 really big major contracts. So I think this is Jones' biggest contract, and I never say never, because if that joker comes out and rush for like 1,000 yards and catch another like 500-600 yards in receiving for the next 2 years, somebody's going to want him, somebody's going to pay him good money. But more than likely, you know, the longevity for a running back is about 2.8 years. And so that's when they reached their peak. I mean, whoever thought Le'Veon Bell who?
Right.
I mean, he kind of fell off the face of the earth. So running backs just don't last very long. They have their successor right now, really, in twofold. A.J. Dillon, which you talked about, and Kylan Hill was their team up with them. And I do. I like the Patrick Taylor kid. He looks pretty good as well.
Yeah, he does. All the running backs look really good right now, and that's why I kind of feel bad for Dexter Williams. Loved him out of Notre Dame, loved him in college, but, man, he might be the odd man out. And that's not saying there's not a spot for him on another roster in the NFL. I mean, hell, you couldn't even bring back Jamal Williams, who's one of the best blocking running backs in the league in pass protection. And I root for him in Detroit, but this team is stacked with weapons right now. And I'm glad that you brought up, you know, the contract situation for offensive linemen, because even in Green Bay, like, I would have loved to bring back Corey Linsley,
right,
but unfortunately you were unable to do so.
Well,
Brian
because
Bulaga,
he's the highest paid, center in the league.
So what are your thoughts, early thoughts, and I know we'll get out to the callers right now really quickly here, but what are your early thoughts on Josh Myers? Because he had that rough day at practice. Aaron Rodgers said, you know, this guy physically, he's really gifted, but mentally today he had a rough day. I want to see him bounce back. Today there was some problems at the center position. Do you think Josh Myers is the guy to replace Corey Linsley this year?
Yeah, he is. He's the heir apparent. They're going to run with him, so he just got to get it figured out. I mean, he's got a very demanding quarterback, Hall of Famer, and he's just got to get up to speed. And so, I mean, he's smart enough. He's nasty. He'll get it done.
I agree, man. I like these Ohio State guys because that's where Corey Linsley came from. He started as a rookie right away pretty much, I mean, by default, but never gave that spot up. 855-830-8648. Steve's in Greenfield. Steve, what's on your mind? You're on the Green and Gold postgame show.
Hey, guys. Gary, I think you're spot on in your assessment that the offensive line could be an issue for them. But the other thing that really struck me after that Tampa Bay loss was they could really use an Ndamukong Suh type of guy to put next to Kenny Clark, a real badass. Because to me, Kenny Clark took a step backwards last year. But you just took away the havoc that Ndamukong Suh created in our backfield in that NFC Championship. We just need somebody of that ilk that can collapse the pocket and just cause all kinds of trouble. And we don't have that kind of guy. And I think
you do.
I do too.
And his name is TJ Slayton.
My man, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You think he's that? To me, he looks like just another Dean Lowry 2.0.
You saw him get the sack today. And, you know, he's the guy, I think he's at when you're University of Florida. The problem with him, the guy's very athletic. The guy's very good. The problem with him is that he just didn't play every down like you're supposed to. And so sometimes when now you get to the NFL and this is it, you can make money, you can set your family up, it's go time. And I think for some guys, the light comes on, they understand it. We really haven't had a guy like this since we had Pickett, since we had B.J. Raji. I think he's the guy that you're going to look. I'm not saying he's Ndamukong Suh, because Ndamukong Suh is a badass. Right. But I think he's the guy that you can put in, and he can be a first and second down player for you, along with Kenny Clark.
Boy, I hope you're right.
I think you know what? I'm glad that you brought that up, Gary, and thanks for the call, man. I'm glad that you brought that up because I tweeted it out that that's the player that I've been waiting for like the last decade. Really, since B.J. Raji retired unexpectedly at, what, 29 years old? Fifth-round pick. And, Gary, this kid is 330 pounds. So you figure, okay, here's a run stuffer. We need a run stuffer, right, because these guys just haven't really worked out. He not only stuffs the run, but he could get after the quarterback. Right after he had that quarterback sack, he was right in the face of the quarterback again on the next play, man. He could move for a 330-pound dude. And you figure there's a lot of baby weight on that guy. Imagine when he gets on a real NFL weight program.
No,
man,
tend to gain more weight when they get in the pros.
Really?
Just so you know. Yes.
More weight. You mean more muscle,
no,
right?
No. They gain more
that
weight.
That rich weight. Yeah, because you're making money for the
first
time.
Yeah, they gain more weight. And, well, they just fill out a little bit more. I mean, I think he is what he is. I'm okay with the weight that he's at. I don't think he's going to lose any. You know, it's so funny. I was watching the Bears play today, and they were talking about Mike Pinnell. You remember Mike Pinnell used to have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was a big guy that we kind of let go. I think he's been in the league now for 7 or 8 years. So we may have gave up on him too early. But still, we needed a big body, and we got one in T.J. Slayton.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you need right there. You need a run stuffer, but you have to get after the quarterback. Like, that's the thing, Gary. Like, my eye was on Eric Stokes today, and I wish we got to see him a little bit more, but I did like what we saw in that first drive because Zach Wilson was picking on him early. They targeted him early in that game on that first drive, and then they challenged him on the 3rd and 4, and I like what Joe Barry does there. They bring him up in press man coverage against Corey Davis, who had a monster day. I think Corey Davis is going to have a huge season for the Jets with Zach Wilson. Man, Stokes came up. He makes that nice play on third down. They force the field goal. And I think Stokes is going to be the real deal. You know, you heard Davante Adams say the same thing?
Yeah, I would agree, but I don't think Stokes is a zone guy. I think he's a straight man cover guy.
Same.
So I don't know how they're going to play it. I think he'll get lost in zone. But I think if they play a lot of man, you can go a little cover three and make it look like man, right? So that means that he can't get beat deep.
Yep.
But he can play it close like man. So – The concepts now in the NFL is about zone. Not a whole lot of teams play man anymore. So everybody have a zone concept, but I think he's more of a man player than a zone player.
Well, it was like even in that NFC title loss, like we like to rip into Kevin King. And, you know, he didn't have a great year, but he also wasn't healthy. Jaire Alexander is one of the best cover corners in the league, and he's only going to continue to get better. Right. But you know what makes the corners better? A pass rush. Like, look at the first game against Tampa Bay when they get blown out in the regular season. They got after Brady one time, and it was Rashawn Gary finally gets after him, and they call him for a face mask. They didn't sack Tom Brady at 43 years old one time. Same thing in the NFC title game. Like, besides Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith has to have a big year. I know he lost all that weight. He was talking with the media today. He looks really good. But Rashawn Gary is going to have to be a double-digit sack guy, or at least give you 8 to 9 sacks, because that's their problem. Like, the secondary, in my opinion, is just fine, especially now with the addition of Stokes. I love when Darnell Savage Jr. is out there and he's healthy. I think Adrian Amos is one of the more underrated safeties in the league. He had a monster year last year. But they don't get after the quarterback, and that's their problem right there. They need coverage sacks. You got to get after the quarterback. You can't let him sit in the pocket, or even the best corners in the league are going to get burned. You know, Jalen Ramsey is going to get burned if you let Tom Brady sit back there all day long and let these receivers break away.
No, I would agree with you, but – and we're going back to that NFC title game again here at Lambeau.
Yeah.
You got 3 picks in the second half. I don't know what more of an offense you would want. And I don't know what more you would want of a defense. Now, they missed. It should have been 4. excuse me, they missed one, but you gave your offense an extra three possessions that you really didn't do anything with. So I think they're there. I think they'll be one of the favorites again with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, you look at this offense right now, you look at Kurt Benkert, he comes on, leads the team down to a drive, they're in the game, and these are twos playing against ones. I think if you were to ask Aaron Rodgers, yeah, maybe he wants to leave and go somewhere else. I don't know there's another team that he can leave and go to in the NFC that will be better than the Green Bay Packers after they take all the draft picks from him.
No, there isn't. This team, I'm not even just saying this. This isn't even just a homer pick. I think that this team is good enough to win the Super Bowl. You know, I jokingly say that every year.
But with Aaron Rodgers.
With Aaron Rodgers.
Not with Jordan Love.
No, not with Jordan Love. Yeah. Not with Jared Goff. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well,
I
think they can get to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff on this team. Absolutely.
If he doesn't turn the football over, the problem with him is I don't know that I could agree with Jared Goff, but with the thing
I would say Jared Goff, because if you believe that A.J. Dillon is what you think that he is,
right,
you'll be able to run the football and take the ball out of Goff's hands, right?
Right, that's true. And Aaron Jones, too.
And then Aaron Jones out of the backfield, little five-yard passes, he turns into 15, 20 yards. So you need a game manager. I think you wouldn't necessarily need a Aaron Rodgers. I think a game manager. Now, you got to have a defense to go with a game manager. So will this defense be good enough, you know, to get off the field and not have guys score 30 or 40 points on you?
Right, exactly. And today means nothing in the loss column. I mean, they're 0-2 in the preseason, 23-14. The Jets do get the win. I want to know what position battles you're watching for, because there's going to be some good players, man, mm-hmm. that don't make this roster, whether it's Sternberger. You know, maybe he's the odd man out, but he does catch a touchdown today, but he's going to miss the first two games, and you're loaded at the tight end position. You know, you look at the running back position, you got a bunch of guys that could carry the football. And then the wide receivers, you know, today we didn't see Devin Funches, but he looked damn good week one after sitting out an entire mm-hmm. year. We haven't seen Sam Brown yet, and I don't understand that. Like, Sam Brown needs to get out there because MVS proved the second half of the season in the NFC title game, he's consistent. Devontae's obviously one of the top three receivers in the league, probably the best route runner. So who's going to be the odd man out on this roster, especially on the offensive side of the ball? 855-830-8648. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show. Ryan Horvath filling in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm here with former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson. You hear him every single day on the Wendy's Big Show. We're going to come back. We'll take your phone calls. And we are asking you that same question. What position battles are you watching for the next two preseason football games? One preseason football game. I keep having to remind myself, we only get three, unless you're the Steelers and or the Cowboys and you played in that Hall of Fame game. We'll be back in a few minutes here on The Fan.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
The Green Bay game is over. What was the scoring drive of the game? It's time for the drive of the game. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show on the Big Show Radio Network.
Taylor back there, third and four. Benkert. And caught by Sternberger, touchdown. And he beats Bryce Hall. And the Packers have gone up late in the first half. Five-yard touchdown pass.
Talk about dropping the ball in a bucket, throwing through a window, small crease. I've heard caddies say to their players, small target, small miss. I mean, that ball was laid over a couple of hands by the defenders, and it had to be in stride before Sternberger ran out of bounds. So a fantastic toss by Kurt Benkert.
That call right there, courtesy of the NFL Network, and you got Kevin Harlan on the call, of course, Packers preseason. The beautiful, beautiful pipes of one Kevin Harlan. Jay Sternberger, a 5-yard touchdown reception from Kurt Benkert to make it, at the time, a 14-10 Packers lead. That drive right there, 19 plays, 81 yards, 10 minutes, 19 seconds. And that was Gary, I did not notice today until they said it in the second quarter, and this is what I miss about being with you guys in Wisconsin every single day and being out here in D.C. Luke Getsy was calling the plays today, not Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
Who do you think gets a head coaching job? Nathaniel Hackett or Luke Getsy next?
That's a good question.
I feel like both of them are going to – like I feel like the LaFleur tree is going to be the next McVay tree, don't you?
Well,
like all these guys are going to have NFL head coaching jobs.
It's all the Shanahan tree, though.
Right.
They all came from there. And so that's where it's going to come from. Like, you know, we talk about the Mike Holmgren tree, but it really isn't. It's the Bill Walsh tree.
That's true. That is true, man.
Like, and this would be – and this would be, I think, this would be Shanahan's tree. I think he'd be at the top. And then, you know, like you have these branches off of that, underneath that. So it would, you know, it's like Bill Walsh, and then you had, what, Seifert.
Yep.
And then you had who else did you? Then you had Holmgren.
Yep.
And then Holmgren had what's the guy now that's on, I believe, on NFL Network that was the head coach of San Francisco for a minute?
Oh, Steve Mariucci.
Then you had Mooch, and I think Mooch may be under Holmgren, maybe.
Yeah. All those guys worked together.
Right.
McCarthy was the, like, and that's the thing.
And then
you know
got Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy's on, is Mike McCarthy on the Holmgren tree? I think he'd be on the Holmgren tree.
I think he's on like four different trees, to be honest with you, man. You know what's funny is that I was watching, like, you watch all these. I got done again. I watched that Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, like sit down documentary that they did on HBO. And it's funny because you look at the Kyle Shanahan tree, you look at the Sean McVay tree, and all these guys are producing in the NFL. And then, in my opinion, the greatest NFL head coach, I hate to say it, man, but it's Bill Belichick and his coaching tree. It's kind of a mess. I like
no,
Brian
no
Flores.
One's done anything. He doesn't have a tree.
Patricia was so bad in Detroit.
All of them.
And I don't know what Dan Campbell was able to do.
Romeo
Crennel, yep.
He wasn't very good. None of those guys. Now, who's the guy in Houston, the Texans?
Bill O'Brien.
He was okay for a minute, but screwed that up. No, yep. No. Now, was it Bill O'Brien? Is he under the Belichick tree?
Well, he is, yeah. And then with the problem with the problem with Bill O'Brien was he was fine as a coach, even at Penn State.
Right.
But then the couple years in Houston, like, he took him to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then what they did was they allowed him to become the general manager, and that's when he lost his damn mind and traded DeAndre Hopkins for a broken down
for
David
nothing.
Johnson and a pack of pencils, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
Did not make any sense whatsoever. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show. It's Ryan Horvath filling in tonight for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. It's Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger. You hear him Monday through Friday on the Wendy's Big Show. You give us a call, 855-830-8648. We're looking at position battles. So my notes for the game, no Jordan Love, four quarters of Kurt Benkert. That was kind of disappointing. I want to see Jordan Love out there and what he has to offer, especially if Aaron Rodgers is walking away next year, whether that's to another organization. He's going to go host Jeopardy. He's going to go hang out in Hawaii with Miles Teller and play the acoustic guitar. Whatever he goes to do, you got to see what you have in Jordan Love, because he is the heir apparent. He will be the starting quarterback. But my eyes were on Eric Stokes, and he was getting picked apart a little bit there by Zach Wilson, who looked impressive today. But he was also going against Corey Davis, and I love that challenge for him, because if Corey Davis could stay healthy, he's a legit NFL wide receiver. So Stokes makes that great play on third down. They force a field goal. As far as the offensive side of the ball today, man, A.J. Dillon is going to be a factor in the passing game. He's so tough to take down. Imagine when he starts getting carries when it gets colder at Lambeau Field. I know we said that last year, and he did towards the end of the season. But the problem was he went on the COVID list, and he was never really the same. I think, how are you gonna split up those carries, though? You know, because they do like to rest Aaron Jones, but I think they're going to have to give A.J. Dillon double-digit touches, too. That's something I want to hit on here coming up in the next hour. And then, Gary, I want to talk about the offensive line with you a little bit as well.
Sure, no problem.
You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show. It's Ryan Horvath. It's Gary Ellerson. When we come back, we'll hear from Matt LaFleur, Gary's guy, Kurt Benkert. That's Rami's guy as well. And we'll hear from you. 855-830-8648. The Green and Gold Postgame Show here on The Fan.
Yeah.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network. The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold postgame show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson on the Big Show Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back into the Green and Gold postgame show here on the Big Show Radio Network as the Jets move to 2-0 in the preseason, 2-0 on the road as well, 23-14 over the Packers. The Packers 0-2 in the preseason, 0-2 at Lambeau, but they're not playing anybody, so we really don't care. We're just trying to get a good look at some of the rookies, some of the young players who are looking to earn some roster spots. Big night for Zach Wilson of the New York Jets, the second overall pick out of BYU. 9 of 11 passing, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kurt Benkert, 18 of 25, plays pretty much the entire game with no Jordan Love. 151 yards through the air, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Good night for Taylor on the ground, 8 carries, 48 yards. Both Taylors, actually. My guy Malik Taylor, 4 receptions today, 66 yards. Is he going to have a spot on this roster? That's what we're asking you tonight. What are the roster spots that you're keeping an eye on? 855-830-8648. Let's go out to my guy Drew, who's on the line here on the Green and Gold postgame show with myself and Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger. What's up, Drew?
Fellas, appreciate taking my call. Just shout out to the lineup tonight. All-star lineup. You got Gary, God is good all the time, Ellerson. You got Ryan, give the man a blue check mark, Horvat. And you got my guy behind the glass, Sam Schmidt. So I appreciate the show, fellas. So starting with that, I'm with you, Horby. Stokes is the guy that I want to see more of. I have high expectations for him. But coming into the game, I just wanted to focus on the O-line, specifically rookie Josh Myers. He had a couple bad snaps, but
yeah.
Kurt Benkert handled it well. Gary, I don't think Jared Goff would win this team a Super Bowl, but I mean you could argue that under LaFleur's offense, you know, he could get us there. It was nice, and it was nice seeing some production on special teams. I mean, we had a couple of solid punt returns, which I kind of almost forgot what that looked like. But overall, obviously, I wasn't looking for a W. I was just looking for what I'm looking for. Sternberger had a big drop pass, but he made up for it with the touchdown. So overall, I like what I saw, and I'd like to see more of Stokes. And I'm just excited to – I'm just pumped watching football, man. Football's back, and I love it.
No, same here. Thanks for the call, Drew. Gary, you know what I love so much about Stokes, man, is like, so Kevin King can make plays. We have to remember 2 years ago when Kevin King was healthy, it wasn't Jaire Alexander. It was actually Kevin King that led the team in interceptions. Last year, he was banged up. He had a back injury before the NFC title game. They didn't even know if he was going to be out there or not. I'm not making excuses for the guy, but this is also a contract year for him. I mean, they give him a one-year prove-it deal. He's going to get paid somewhere, probably not in Green Bay. You know, they draft Stokes. They have Jaire. They're going to have to make Jaire maybe even the highest paid corner in the league. But for Kevin King to stay in this league and get the money that he thinks he deserves, he has to perform this year. You're now all of a sudden loaded in the secondary. You know what I mean? With guys that could actually make plays on the ball. Now, let me ask you really quick this question. Do you trust Joe Barry as the defensive coordinator, or do you think that Mike Pettine kind of got like the short end of the stick? Because Mike Pettine's defense did make plays, the 3 interceptions in the second half of that game off Tom Brady. Do you think that Mike Pettine was kind of the scapegoat, or do you think like Joe Barry is the right decision and you're just jacked to see him as the defensive coordinator this year?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't. I thought that Mike Pettine probably did the best he could with the defense that he had.
Right.
They chose not to re-sign Blake Martinez. There was a glaring weakness at inside linebacker. Kevin King was often hurt, so you really only had one corner. It's just tough to judge what Joe Barry is going to be like. I mean, for the most part, they've been pretty vanilla up front, so I don't even know what this defense is going to look like. We hear all about this star position player.
Yeah.
Don't know what that's going to look like. And I just think you just kind of have to wait till the regular season to see. I mean, I think the philosophy is going to be bend but don't break. And if that's the philosophy, that means you're going to see offensive put up a ton of yards. And then you'll see offenses kicking a lot of field goals against us. I think pretty much is what you saw tonight. I think if you look at the Jets field goal kick, I mean the Jets kicker, what did they have, 3-4 field goals tonight?
Yeah.
I think that's what this defense is going to be about, is they're going to give you a lot of yards between the 20 and the 20, then they're going to tighten up on you once you get, you know, inside the 20. So I think that's what you'll see. But I just can't get a read on what Joe Barry's defense is. It's very similar to what we saw last year, but I don't know what the star position is going to be like.
Right, and especially when you figure, like, the star position for the Rams, the guy that was moving around all the time, they actually used Jalen Ramsey in that spot. So, you know, you don't know what it's going to look like. You have no idea what it's going to look like with this defense. But I do think that you have some playmakers, and I think you got some guys that are looking to earn some cash, and I think that that's always big going into the season. Also, the linebackers, man. I like what the young linebackers look like early here in the preseason. Chris Barnes made a huge play, jumping the A-gap, tackled Ty Johnson on the backfield on a big 3rd-and-1 at midfield in the first half. Mm-hmm. I think Chris Barnes is a player in this league. We saw some flashes, and I think that he's legit. Now, I know that people always gave me a hard time, but I really do miss Blake Martinez. And you could say, yeah, he made those tackles 5 yards down the field.
But they didn't have his replacement last year.
That's the thing, man.
It doesn't matter where he made the tackles.
Right. All that matters is he makes 150 of them a year, and he leads the league in tackles.
Right.
Exactly. He's a hell of a player.
Right. And they didn't have his. And I know they wanted more plays behind the line of scrimmage. They wanted more 2-3 yard plays. I get it. But last year, I mean, Mike Pettine, they put him on an island. They just didn't have any backers, inside backers, to go with that defense. Now, Owen Burke looks pretty – I think he put together another really good game.
Same here.
He looked pretty good again today. Didn't look good in the Pettine's defense. But right now, it feels like he's got a role in that nickel or dime defense, and he looks pretty good. So you may be able to get something out of there. Kamal Martin, they moved to the outside. I saw him flashed a little bit today. So you may be able to get something out of him. But once again, he's going to be behind 3 other guys. I mean, Za'Darius, Preston, and Rashawn Gary. And then Kamal Martin may be the 4th guy. So, I mean, he's got a ways to go that. But he could be the guy, swing guy, too. He could be that guy that you could also throw at inside backer if need be. So he gives them some sort of depth at that linebacker position.
I completely agree with you. And I think that, I mean, this comes down to this season at that position. You know, you got Preston Smith, who took a huge pay cut because he does want to stay with this team. He lost all the weight. He's going to have to be the Preston Smith that we saw 2 years ago if this team is going to make it to a Super Bowl. Also, they have to find ways to get Rashawn Gary on the field. And what I like is you could play him with his hand in the dirt. You could play him as an outside linebacker. Just find a way to get him on the field for 85% of the snaps, because Za'Darius gets double teamed as much as some of the dominant pass rushers do, like just as much, 85% of the snaps, something like that last year. So he's going to continue to get double teamed. Somebody else is going to have to eat off that. Kenny Clark's going to have a big year. I disagree with our first caller. I wouldn't say that Kenny Clark had a down year. You know, he just got paid, and anytime anybody gets paid, we have all these high expectations. Also, we have to look at it like Kenny Clark needs help that isn't Dean Lowry next to him. You know what I mean?
And that's what happened.
Double team, man.
And that's what happened. He gets double teamed. And part of it is his fault. He's got to figure out now, because he was getting double teamed so much, how do you beat the double teams? And that's what he was not able to do last year. He wasn't able to be Superman and beat the double teams, right? Because we know Aaron Donald was getting double teamed every single time. But Aaron Donald figured out how to beat the double teams. And so that's what you're asking now Kenny Clark to do, is beat double teams. And all your best players are going to have to do that. And these guys understand that growing up. I mean, there are always the best players on their team in high school and college, right? And so they have always been double teamed along the way. So when they get to pros, it's just a little bit harder when you get double teamed because, you know, the competition is a little bit higher. So Kenny Clark now, and I just hate saying this, but it is true, he's got to now figure out how to beat double teams, right?
Right.
You knew Jerry Rice was going to get double teamed, right? And Jerry Rice got to figure out how to beat the double team, right? You knew, and we know right now, Davante Adams is going to get double-teamed, or the defense is going to play to his side. He's got to figure out now how to beat that. And that was Kenny Clark's problem last year. He didn't figure out or didn't know how to beat the double-teams. I think at the end of the year, we saw him get a little bit better on then now how to take on double teams.
Right, yep. And that's
tough to say, but that's the problem that he's having right now is double teams. How can he beat him? And you're right. So having that guy next to him, right, helps him a little bit more. Lowry, you know, or what's my guy, Kiki?
Kiki Kingsley.
Him on the other side. I mean, whoever it is, those guys should be free or should have one-on-ones and should be able to get to the quarterbacks, but it's still got to be up to Kenny Clark to beat the double teams.
Exactly, man. And that's why, like, okay, so I'm looking at the Washington football team this year, and I'm looking that Chase Young is probably going to have, like, 15 to 16 sacks. And the reason is he splits a lot of those sacks with Montez Sweat, because who do you double team? You know what I mean? And I'm with you because Kenny Clark now is making the type of money where you have to take on double teams. But we always, like, find ourselves doing this in the league. Well, it's like, well, hey, Aaron Donald does it. Or, you know, hey, Myles Garrett does it. Granted, you know, he's a defensive end. But still, like, that's the level that Kenny Clark does need to reach. Right. When he's making this kind of money and when he has the capability of being that type of player. I'll switch in sides really quick because I know we're getting up against the break. We got a lot to get to still. One guy that I'm down on after today's performance, I thought that he was just bad, and I know that they're moving these guys around a lot, but Lucas Patrick, two holding penalties on the same drive, that's unacceptable with this offensive line. I'm with you. Like, that's my one concern is if David Bakhtiari is going to be out a few weeks, and I know he's superhuman and he wants to be out there, I do have some concerns because, you know, I get it, and the Packers have always been right. Like whether it was Tedman or whether it was Brian Gutekunst, whether it's Mark Murphy, whoever makes these decisions, like, I wanted Josh Sitton back. I fall in love with the big uglies up front. I wanted TJ Lang back. But they didn't get those third deals, and then they went elsewhere, remaining in the NFC North, and proved that they weren't really worth the big type of money. Yeah. But, man, now Corey Lindsley's gone, and I know he already has the injury, and he's been dealing with the back injury. But you said goodbye to Brian Bulaga a couple of years ago. It hurts to lose guys like that.
And Bulaga got hurt right away?
Right away. Right, but it hurts to lose guys like that, and then you're relying on somebody like Lucas Patrick, and he has this huge opportunity in front of him, and two holding penalties against a second- and third-string defense, and it's just like, come on, man, you got to get it together, because that was the reason that they were so successful offensively last year. Like, everybody was like, hey, what's the difference with Aaron Rodgers? Is it his footwork? Is he mad about the Jordan Love pick? Well, no, he only got sacked 20 times last year, man. He's not getting hit for the first time in his career. You know what I mean? Like, that makes a big difference when a quarterback's sitting back there. Look at Tom Brady, for example.
But for the most part, Aaron Rodgers was playing on time.
Yep.
You know, and so I think what you're going to see is the offensive line will be better because of Aaron Rodgers. He makes everybody better. So that I'm worried about the offensive line, but not worried about the offensive line, because Aaron Rodgers, although he does tend to hold on to the football sometimes, but I think for the most part, he makes that offensive line better. So you'll see, if Patrick is a guy, you'll see him play better when Rodgers is on the center.
Completely agree. We got to get to a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Kurt Benkart, who I guess now is like a folk hero. I heard I heard our guy Rami on his show just taking a beating, and I saw it on social media.
What are you taking a beating about?
People love Benkart, and Rami's like, I don't know if he could play in this league, and people were coming at him with that one. So we'll hear from him. We're going to hear from Matt LaFleur as well. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show. It's Ryan Horvath. It's Gary Ellerson here on the Big Show Network. We're back in a few minutes.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network. The Green Bay game is over. Who came up with the big turnover in today's game? Who made the big stop on defense? It's time for the defensive play of the game. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show on the Big Show Radio Network.
Second down and six. Take the Pirine. Put it up. Hitting hot down. T.J. Slayton got a hand on him. He was banged around like a pinball. Slayton brings him down. Lost back to the 28. Here's a player. The Packers are high on a fifth-round rookie. They think his bulk and size will make a difference inside.
That right there, the defensive play of the game, the beautiful pipes of Kevin Harlan. I was sitting back watching this on the NFL Network. Didn't have to use my Game Pass, which is a beautiful thing. But I love T.J. Slayton. Fifth-round pick out of Florida. 330 pounds, 6'4". He looks like he's like 6'6" out there. So he's going to be able to get his hands up, bat balls down at the line of scrimmage. He could stuff the run, and he could get after the quarterback. He's got some speed for a 330-pound, 6'4" guy. And he had the sack there, and then in the next play, he had a quarterback hurry as well. Gary, I think he's going to be the real deal, but how are they – or I shouldn't say how are they, because it's very easy. There's plenty of spots. I like Kingsley Keke, but I don't love Kingsley Keke. Not the way I already love T.J. Slayton. And I'm a big fan of SEC guys, man. Are they going to be able to get him on the field right away? Because I feel like he can make an immediate impact. You know, I know in college there was some issues with him being consistent, some consistency issues. But you know how it goes, man. In the pros, like, we say this about a lot of guys, and then in the pros, they end up just picking it right up. And also, you're looking to earn some money. I feel like he's a week one player.
Yeah, I think he's a situational player for them. And I think he's, you know, he could be the backup to Kenny Clark. I think, you know, Joe Barrett's got to be creative with him and try to figure out ways to get him on the field.
Right.
And most certainly, he's not a third down guy by any means, but I think he's a first and second down guy. So maybe I think you can see him, T.J. Slayton, with a combination of Kenny Clark and maybe, let's just say, Kingsley Keke, you know, those three. And or they can go, because you've already talked about, or they can go Rashard Gary as a down lineman. I mean, they have a lot of things that they can do to be creative with this defensive front.
And that's what you have to be able to do, especially when you don't have – you know, we got done talking about Blake Martinez, and the knock on him was always, well, he struggles in coverage. There's only so many linebackers in the league that are good in coverage that could play sideline to sideline. It seems like all of them happen to be in Tampa Bay, like Devin White. Like, I would love a guy like that. Packers don't have that, unfortunately. I like Kamal Martin. I like their young backers. But I just feel like they're going to have to get creative, and I feel like Joe Barry, like, that's the reason they bring this guy in. And Matt LaFleur knows him well enough to know what he's able to bring to the table. Look, I've been being way too positive about this team. One thing that continues to drive me nuts, and it's drove me nuts the last 15 years, I thought, you know, you could fire the coordinator as many times as you want. Yeah. You could cut guys. You could bring in new guys. The special teams, to me, Gary, is still a huge issue. J.K. Scott is still way too inconsistent. You got big kick returns. I'm a little nervous about the special teams, and I know that maybe it sounds like I'm just picking on something here. It's a preseason game. But, I mean, that's been a huge issue the last, what, decade, literally, with this
team?
Yeah,
it really has. And I think you'll see it get better. Just trying to manage 90 players in a preseason game is tough.
Right.
And so I think, you know, once they get it whittled down here, then guys know their roles. Because right now what you have is a bunch of guys that have never played special teams before. What you have in the NFL is guys that who played in college were the best player on their college team. And they never ran down on punts. They never ran down on kicks. Now, I did kickoff return in college, but I was a deep guy bringing it back.
Yep.
But other than that, even in high school, I was like punt return and kickoff return. But I never ran down on a punt. I never ran down on a kick. I mean, I never did. So now you're asking guys to do that. And when I first got to Green Bay, I was on a kickoff team.
Right.
I had never played on a kickoff team before in my life.
Right. Well, because you're a superstar, man.
Right.
You're scoring double-digit touchdowns, 20 touchdowns, you know what I mean, in high school.
Right.
Then you get to college and you're a lead back. So,
yes.
Exactly. But you're just trying to find a role on the team. Exactly.
Right.
I get it, man.
I never played on a kickoff team before in my life. And then I was in Green Bay my first year. I was on the punt team. And I was, like, on the front line on the punt team. And I had never done anything. And so that's what you're seeing right now with a lot of these guys is their first time doing some of this stuff. So I think as you make these cuts, I think you'll see it get better.
You know who disappointed me the most, man? And I was so high on them, and I had the opportunity when I spent 3 years in Iowa. I was covering the Hawkeyes, and I loved Josh Jackson. And we saw what he did against the Badgers. I thought he was going to be – you know, when they took – You know what's crazy, man? They took Jair, and I was like, oh, man, you could have had Josh Jackson.
Yep.
And then they ended up with Josh Jackson, and I was like, oh, my God, the Packers are going to have the best secondary for the next decade. What a disappointment. And, man, he got roughed up week one, and I knew it was time for him to go. But even he couldn't even find a role on special teams. He was a healthy scratch the second half of the year last year. And that's been the disappointment, man, is you have guys that could fit those roles, and they just have no interest in doing so, and they prove that they're just – unfortunately, not even worthy of special teams play, man.
I think they misplayed him, if you ask me.
I thought he was an inside guy,
slot guy. I think that was his best position. They never played him that way.
I really hope he could find a role.
He was never a cover corner. Not at 4-6. Never.
Right. I just hope he could stay in the league for a couple of years, get himself a paycheck. Really quick, I wanted to ask you this. Okay, so there's going to be somebody that's been solid in the preseason or even in camp that's most likely not going to make this team. And it's funny because we talk about weapons with this team and Rodgers needs more weapons, but now he has more weapons than ever because they do bring back Randall Cobb, who I think is going to be huge for Amari Rodgers. Malik Taylor showed out today. Reggie Bagleton looked pretty good. Amari Rodgers, they all had nice grabs late in the second quarter of that game. Who's making this team and who's not? Do you think maybe EQ doesn't have a roster spot? Because all these guys are showing up.
Well,
right
I think
now.
If you go down the list, right, I mean, you get a pen and pencil together. You know Devontae's on his team. You know Randall Cobb is on his team, right? MVS is on his team. That's three. Mm-hmm. Amari Rodgers is on his team. That's four. Funches is on his team. That's five. Who am I missing after that?
It would be, well, if you got Rodgers, so you got EQ, you got Malik Taylor, you got Reggie Bagleton.
No, I'm not counting them. I'm going to put them on my short list here.
So you got MVS is making the team. Right. I think MVS is going to have a monster year.
You got
Devontae.
Adams, you got Adams, right?
Yep.
You got MVS, right?
Yep.
You got Cobb, yep. Right? Funches, right? You've got, after that, who we have? So that's four. Who am I missing? Adams, MVS, Cobb, Funches. Who am
Amari
I missing?
Amari Rodgers.
Huh? Rodgers.
You got to put yeah. Amari Rodgers on
Rodgers
the
is making it. So that's five. And then after that.
St. Brown? Is St. Brown back?
So then that's where it gets interesting.
Right.
And now you've got Brown, and then you've got what, Malik Taylor, right?
Yep.
And to me, that's where it gets kind of, you know, then you got Bingleton after that, and. So, yeah, it gets kind of dicey. So, Brown, actually, you see, Adams, MVS, Cobb, Funches, Rodgers, that's five. They'll probably go with six receivers.
I think so,
so
too.
Either St. Brown or Malik Taylor, I think it's between those two.
I do, too. So, if you keep six receivers, how many tight ends are you going to be able to
well,
keep?
Because
you know you're
then,
bringing
and,
big dog
then,
back.
So, you look at tight ends, you know you got, what, Lewis, right?
Yep.
You got Tonyan, right?
Yep.
You got DeGura, right? He's making
right.
it. And then after that, you got to figure out whether you want another tight end. And that fourth tight end is Sternberger, right? And then you got, what, Derek Daphne from last year, correct?
Who Rodgers loves.
Right. But, so, Daphne may make it because Sternberger has to miss two games, right?
Yeah, I feel like Sternberger is going to get cut because of that. I feel like he saved his job a little bit today,
But you don't know. That may be a spot where they keep him. And
right.
see what another guy can do.
Right.
So I mean, and then you go to running back, right? So you got who's at running back now? You got
so we got Aaron Jones and we got AJ Dillon, who we know.
Jones,
we got our guy
got,
Taylor, who we both like.
Dillon, you've got what's
Kylan
the,
Hill?
You got Hill.
You got Dexter Williams.
No. We not him yet. So you got Jones, Dillon, Hill. After that, who do we have? I think is. Is it Dexter Williams or is it
– It'd be Dexter Williams or Patrick Taylor after that. Because, well, DeGuara is technically
I'm
an
I'm going
H-back.
With Patrick Taylor.
I think so, too. He was awesome today. Eight carries,
right.
48 yards,
then,
averaged
and
six
And then
per
I
pop.
Go with Williams behind him. Now, I'm going to give you a scenario here where Josiah DeGuara is also a move guy.
Right, he's an H-back, fullback,
tight end.
So he's
a fullback.
Yeah, yeah.
So they possibly can ask one. That's why Williams, I think, is on the chopping block where they may keep five. Well, it won't be five, but they'll keep four tight ends and Josiah. Because I happen to think there's a whole nother package with Josiah that we hadn't seen yet.
Exactly. I completely agree, man.
With his skill set. Now, you can repeat all this stuff that I'm telling you right now, but just make sure you give me credit. Like, you didn't come up with this, okay?
Oh, no. We're
okay?
on the same
you
page.
Because I'm giving you good information here. Just make sure that you say, I heard this from my guy, Gary Ellison. So,
Gary, I've never, I will sell everybody at that station short, except for you and my guy, Winkler.
So,
and of course, Sam Schmitz.
So, Josiah, I think, is a move guy. So, therefore, he may be a fullback for you.
That's what I'm thinking too, man. But there's no such thing as fullbacks anymore. They're H-backs.
Right.
You see what Pat
right.
Fitzgerald runs at Northwestern. They're
right.
called superbacks.
Right.
All right, we do got to get to a break. We're
Let's
up
go.
Against the break. So when we come back, we're going to get to a couple callers, and then we're going to hear from the man, the myth, the legend. Not Aaron Rodgers. Kurt Bankart. Is he QB1? I'm only
no,
kidding.
No, he's QB2 for sure.
We'll be back. It's the Green and Gold postgame show. Ryan Horvath, Gary Ellerson here on the Big Show Network.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network. The Green Bay game is over. It's time to head inside the locker room and hear what the players have to say about today's game. You're listening to the Green and Gold postgame show on the Big Show Radio Network.
And welcome back into the Green and Gold postgame show here on the Big Show Network. It's Ryan Horvath filling in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer alongside former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson. You give us a call. We got a couple segments to go here. 855-830-8648. You know, Gary, we were talking, and my main man and one of the great Twitter handles, Shoulder Fat, and Lazard Season both point out that we forgot about Alan Lazard, and I'm so disappointed, man, because I got done talking about my short period of time in Iowa where I was covering both the Iowa football program that went to the Rose Bowl and Iowa State, and Alan Lazard was the best player on that team. And I love Alan Lazard, and I completely forgot. That's how stacked this roster is right now. And you know he's making the roster. Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers loves him, especially on third down.
So, real quick, let's go back. So
yeah, we got to do this again now.
Adams, MVS, Cobb, Funchess, Rodgers, Lazard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then outside of that is Brown and Taylor.
Yep, they're gone. Maybe a practice spot for Taylor, and I think maybe St. Brown finds somewhere else to play. I think that's what it's going to end up being. You know, especially when you're keeping so many tight ends, so many running backs on the roster. I feel like St. Brown may be the odd man out here. Or maybe it's Malik Taylor, who balled out today. But again, it's a preseason game. That's what I'm saying. This team, I mean, somebody good is going to end up being cut. They're stacked with weapons. So there's no excuses this year. They're 14-1 if you guys are into gambling to win the Super Bowl. This is the year. There's no excuses if they don't get it done. I mean, they are stacked on pretty much, I'll say, both sides of the ball. I mean, you gotta find some guys that could get after the quarterback, but even in the secondary with the addition of Stokes, there's just too many solid players to not get it done this year. We will hear from Matt LaFleur here shortly. He's wrapping up with the media. Let's get back out to the podium out in Green Bay at Lambeau Field and hear from Kurt Benkart, who pretty much took every snap tonight with no Jordan Love here on the Green and Gold postgame show. Ryan Horvath, Gary Ellerson. That right there, Packers third-string quarterback, Kurt Benkart. Yes, he will be number three. Jordan Love is going to be the second-string quarterback. The question is, how many quarterbacks are the Packers going to be able to carry? Is he going to be a practice squad guy? Still a lot of roster spots yet to be determined here with this team, which goes to show how deep they are. We're going to take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show and hear from head coach Matt LaFleur next here on the Green and Gold postgame show with myself, Ryan Horvath, and former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson on the Big Show Radio Network.
Border to border, the Big Show Radio Network. The Green Bay game is over. What went right? What went wrong? What's the latest on the injuries? It's time to hear what the head coach thinks of today's game. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show on the Big Show Radio Network.
And welcome back into the Green and Gold postgame show here on the Big Show Radio Network. It's Ryan Horvath and former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson. I'm filling in tonight for the great Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. He's out there watching Gravedigger run through some cars or whatever they do in these monster truck rallies. Not going to lie, never been to one. Never been to one in my life. We'll see. Maybe Matt LaFleur's been to one. He took to the podium a couple minutes ago and talked about the performance in the Packers' loss to the New York Jets. 0-2 now in the preseason. Here's the head coach, Matt LaFleur. So that right there, head coach Matt LaFleur speaking with the media after the loss to the New York Jets, a loss that means absolutely nothing because it is preseason football. But I'll tell you this, man, I've been impressed with Zach Wilson, who I think I was a little tough on after the draft. Gary, thanks for letting me fill in, man. Good to hear from you. I'll be in town, actually, in December. I'm going to the Packers-Browns game on Christmas Day. So let's get a glass of whiskey and a cigar.
I'll be there after the game.
Let's do it, my man. All right, thanks. Thanks to everybody for tuning in to the Green and Gold postgame show. Definitely tune in on Monday morning to the Bart Winkler Morning Show, my long-lost pal. Ryan Horvath, Gary Ellerson, out for the night. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend. For my city, on for my city, put on.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.